AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Sunday, August the 20th, it's almost 7 o'clock. Came home from, after a good day of church and fellowship, and I was determined to continue editing the final draft of Fatherless, and that was coming out soon, I hope. And I ran across a part of it. It talks about faith, and I have been considering lately starting a series on faith. We're talking about faith and trying to understand it. I have my reasons for it, and they're multiple, and some of them I'm going to share with you over the next few episodes. But primarily, it's because when you look around, what's happening in the world today? There is obvious evidence of a lack of faith, and it's hard to understand why. And so I want to explore this. I want to spend quite a bit of time exploring this, trying to understand better for myself and to hopefully help you with this mysterious gift that God calls faith. I'll try not to get too long on any single episode, but I feel like right now I just need to start talking, and then I'll go in there and do all the editing, which is evidently easier to do than editing this over and over and over again. If you've ever tried or written a book and gone in to do self-editing in order to save a lot of money, you'll find that it's very challenging. But that's neither here nor there. And much of what I'm saying right now will probably be cut out, so if it is, no big deal. But I want to talk about faith. I want to spend some time with you on that. Faith, and the faith that I'm talking about is faith in a living God. Now, my God is the God of the Bible. Your God may be a different God. I don't know who your God is. I hope you do. I think at the end we'll all find out that no matter what we call him, whether we call him Father or Abba, Yahweh, whether we call him Mohammed or Buddha or Howard, no matter what you call him, I think we're going to all find out that, well, there's only one God, and that God created everything from the beginning of time to the end of time, from the smallest seed to the largest mountains. God created everything, and one day we're all going to know that. But while we're here, one of the things, the way that we need to strive to make it from day to day to day with everything that's going on around us, whether you're a Christian, whether you're a non-believer, whether you're a flat-out atheist, whether you're any religion that's in the world, every day we're not protected. Our religion does not protect us from experiencing what the world's going on. And so when we walk into these experiences that come, and it could be anything. It could be the storms of life. It could be what they just experienced in Maui with the terrible fires, or what's happening, I believe, in Southern California now, or Northern Mexico with hurricanes and earthquakes. I just saw something about fires, I believe, up in British Columbia. Here in Texas, not too far up the road, there's been a number of fires. And there's all kinds of theories of why these things are happening. I think it's just happening because that's what the earth does. And now because of things like social media, well, we can pay more attention to those things. They're brought to us immediately. You get a little ding on your phone that tells you, hey, there's a news break, breaking news from Fox or whoever you get your news from, or from Instagram, I don't know. Wherever you get it from, it breaks immediately. We find out about these things. Where not too long ago, I don't want to age myself too much, but not too long ago, we didn't find out about this stuff until the morning paper. And by that time, sometimes some of the events were already over or in control. And reading it in a newspaper, holding a newspaper in your hand and reading that, it doesn't have the impact of what video does or live news feeds or anything like that that we experience today. And with the newspaper, well, I guess it's the same. With the newspaper, you could flip over to the next page and you keep turning until you get to the comics or the sports section or whatever you like to read. And whatever was happening in the world, as long as it wasn't too close to your front porch, it didn't matter. Just push it away. Push it away. Well, we do that now with our phones. We scroll through our phones or through our desktops or laptops and everything. We see something, we click on it, we don't like it, it goes away. I've been trying to do some research on increasing viewership on my social media to get more book sales. I'll be just flat out, that's what it's about. It's all about selling more books. And they give you this analysis of your videos. They provide this for you. And I was looking at mine and I was comparing it to others and other data that's out there and saw that the average length that somebody watches a video, somebody meaning you or me, was less than 17 seconds. There's a lot of them that's 3 seconds. I think those are the ones that pop up, you look at it and you scroll to the next one. You know, less than 3 seconds that you're seeing these things. And so to get that attention span, it has to be something that catches our eye, that keeps us there. Right. And with the old newspaper, that was really hard to do. So our attention wasn't on the things that were happening in the world. Today it is. It makes it a scary place because we have to face that. We have to get up out of bed. Tomorrow's Monday. Monday morning I'm driving to San Antonio. And I have to get up and I have to, knowing what I'm going to do that day, I have to face the world and everything is going to be on, God forbid, IH-35 southbound. That's my nemesis. But I have to do it because we have to live. We have to do what we're called to do or what we need to do. We have to do those things. And to do that with no faith, I can't imagine what kind of life anyone leads. If you don't have faith, that covers everything. It covers it all. You know, the Bible in Matthew, Jesus said, in talking to the crowds, talking to his disciples, he told them, if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, mustard seed's one of the smallest seeds, if I was holding it between my fingers right now, even if I was to get it very, very close to the camera, it'd be difficult for you to see. It's such a small seed. And Jesus said, if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, mountains would be moved. He says, nothing, nothing shall be impossible to you. Right. Well, you may say, well, Jim, I don't have that faith. I don't have small faith or big faith, the size of a mustard seed or the size of the mountain that it would move. I don't have that faith. And I would tell you that you're wrong, that you do. You do have that faith, you see, because the Bible also tells us that God has dealt to each one, everyone, a measure of faith. It's not talking about Christians or believers when it says to each one. It's not talking about the rich or the poor, the healthy or the crippled. It doesn't matter the color of your eyes, the color of your skin, the color of your hair. It doesn't matter. None of that matters when the Bible says to each one, old or young, they've been delivered. They have been delivered a measure of faith. Now, there's some people I know that have, well, they have more faith than I do. There's others that have less faith than I do. I try not to compare myself to those, other than for trying to understand it. The people that have so much faith that everything seems to bounce off of them. In one hand, in one way, I admire them greatly. I think, oh, what incredible faith. When a storm comes into their life, they just sort of laugh it off. They'll deal with it. They know they'll deal with it because it's covered by faith. It's covered by God and their faith in God. I think sometimes, though, what happens when we get faith that large, we become irresponsible. I'll tell you a story one day. I don't have time today, but I'll make a note of it, mental note of it, to tell you the story about a couple I knew when we were living up in Alaska who had tremendous faith. Their faith was so great that, well, the wife came to a point where she needed medical help, needed a blood transfusion, and his faith and her faith were such that they believed that God would take care of her. That's how strong they felt their faith was, that they didn't need medical intervention, even though the doctors were telling her that she was going to die without blood. It's a good story to tell, and I'll share that again sometime, but the crust of that was that their faith was so strong that common sense sort of just dissolved into nothing. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that God couldn't do those things without our faith. If we didn't have faith in God, He wouldn't stop existing. The world, if no one had faith in God, if all of a sudden we woke up tomorrow morning and there was not a believer anywhere in the world, it wouldn't change who God is or what God does. Not a mustard seed size of change would occur. He doesn't need us for that to happen, for faith to work, you see, because He is the author of faith. He painted it. He's the masterpiece. He's the one that gave it to us. To each man, God has dealt a measure of faith. That's just a small part of this incredible gift called faith. You see, because faith, if you could imagine it for just a second, as being in a liquid form, He has poured it over all of creation. And because we are part of creation, each one of us received a measure of that faith. And it's what we do with that measure that changes our lives and the way that we see things. But it's also everything, every place that you look, everywhere you look, you can see evidence of faith. Evidence of God, but evidence of this gift that He called faith. You know, I told you earlier, I'm working on a book right now that I really hope to get out in the next month or 2 months, somewhere along there, to finish it up, called Fatherless. But there's another book that I've been writing for some time, and it's about this very subject. It's about faith, and it's about a girl whose name is Faith, and she leaves her family because of some misunderstandings about what her beliefs was as a young girl. She's 13 years old. And what her parents, who don't believe in God, and she leaves. She runs away. Well, her grandfather, a good old guy, raised his children, including his daughter, this Faith's mother, the girl's name is Faith, including her, in the church, and what he thought was good moral standards and behaviors, and he raised them like that, and she meets this man, and he doesn't believe in God, and he convinces her that there is no God. But their daughter, who goes to church with the grandfather, does. She believes in all that, and she runs away. And the name of the title of the book is called Searching for Faith, and it's about the grandfather's search for her, not for faith as you and I see it, although that's I guess it's hidden in all the pages. It's about searching for his granddaughter who's run away and searching for faith. I think now, as I'm talking about this now, the Bible said in Matthew, if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, and again, a mustard seed is so small. And I'm thinking, if I could sit down with Jesus and tell him that that might be the problem, you say. A mustard seed is very hard to see. When we compare faith to a mustard seed, well, faith is sometimes very hard for us to see. Especially when there's storms going on. Not just the storms that we've been seeing lately of Mother Nature, whether it be a drought in South Texas, and then New Braunfels, and it was 106 degrees today, and it's been over 100 for on and off for a long time. They're actually excited tomorrow. I think the high is 98, and people are excited and dancing in the street, and there's a 1% chance of rain or something. It's kind of crazy. And then you look at the terrible storms in Maui that led to a fire, or the storms that we see across the United States, the world for that matter. And those are bad enough, but those aren't the kind of storms that we walk through all the time. Those come and they go. It's the storms of life that we experience that sometimes makes it difficult for us to see our faith. Even a Christian who's been walking with Christ for more than 30 years sometimes has a hard time seeing how faith plays into any given situation. But that was by way of introduction. I'm going to continue this on because I have a lot more to say about it. Because without faith, then all the doom and gloom and conspiracy theories that you hear out there, well, they all of a sudden they have teeth in them. I'm not saying they're true, they're real. I don't think the Martians are coming to take us over. I don't think there's some conspiracy behind the fires in Maui. I don't even think there's conspiracies behind elections. I think it's a bunch of dumb people behind elections that did something that they thought they wouldn't get caught doing, but there's no conspiracies. And we spend all of our time thinking about these things nowadays, and it's understandable how you could feel that if there was faith, if I had that mustard seed of faith at one time, I've dropped it, and it's gone down deep into the grass, and I can't find it anymore, and it's down there. Do I wait for it to have water and wait for it to grow again, or do I walk away from it? Well, you look at church attendance, I think the latter's the answer. People are walking away from church. They're walking away from God because they can't see faith. I want to take you on a journey with me, looking at you. Not your faith, but the faith that God has painted is glorious for us.